Reading of Scripture from Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak. And starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Once again this morning, we've included some teaching notes, and I would invite you to take those out and to follow along as we go through this message together. I'd like to welcome you to this, the first week of this four-week series on the case for Christ. I know that over the past week or so, a number of you have seen the movie and that several of you have read or are reading the book by this title. And the story revolves around a young atheist whose name is Lee Strobel. And he's investigating the claims of Christianity, but not with a desire to follow Jesus. Strobel was an award-winning investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and everything was going along pretty well in his life until his wife, Leslie, came to faith in Jesus Christ. And Strobel, a spiritual skeptic, wanted to build a case against Christ so that he could prove to her that Christianity was all a hoax. So he embarked on this 2-year spiritual journey of reading and researching and interviewing experts, and the evidence was not stacking up for him the way he hoped it would. Now I'd like to begin this morning by looking at a brief clip from the movie, and this clip shows a very frustrated Lee Strobel in the newsroom of the Chicago Tribune. And he's trying to figure out what to do with all of this evidence that keeps piling up and keeps leading toward Christ. And as he's struggling with this, Kenny London, who is the religion editor of the Tribune and an active Christian, walks into the newsroom. And let's see what happens. In just a moment, we'll see what happens. That's not it. So anyway, okay, well, we'll skip over that part. Because what happens in this film clip, and some of you saw the movie, is that he's very frustrated, and Kenny London challenges him to move forward in terms of how he deals with this evidence. And they have quite a lively emotional exchange. And it leads us to, introduces this whole series, because I think sometimes as we're investigating the case for Christ, we come to what we might call a spiritual sticking point, that there's something that we just can't get past. Something that might lead us to a deeper relationship with Christ, but we're stuck there. And today what I'd like to do is to talk about four of the most common spiritual sticking points that come up when we are investigating the case for Christ. And as we look at them, what I'd like to ask is that you would think about your own relationship to Christ. And are there sticking points for you that keep you from a deeper relationship with Him? The first spiritual sticking point, which is number one in your notes, is I can't believe. I can't believe. This is the struggle that's often expressed by people with an issue that is blocking their spiritual path. They have a question or an objection, and it's stopping them along their way toward God. When I was in seminary, I served as a chaplain intern at the Children's Medical Center in Dayton, Ohio, as part of my field ed. And every day I was visiting with parents of children who were enduring unspeakable suffering. And often I would talk to a mom or a dad, and they would say something like, you know, I just can't believe in a God who would allow my precious child to experience things like that. I can't believe. I have a good friend who has a PhD in computer science, and he is a loving husband, a father of five, a very generous man. And our families have had some wonderful times together over the years, but my friend is also quite a spiritual skeptic. And every time the topic of God comes up in our conversation, he says, I can't believe in something that I don't have hard facts for. And there's a business person that I know that used to attend worship, and then he stopped. And when asked why, he explained, you know, I prayed to God that my business would succeed, and it's just going down the tubes. I can't believe in a God who would not answer my prayers. There are a lot of people all around us who say, I can't believe, because they don't see the evidence. This is the spiritual sticking point that Jesus' disciple Thomas had. Perhaps you remember that when the risen Christ first appeared to his disciples in John's gospel, Thomas wasn't there. And when he got there, the other disciples told him the good news, But you remember what Thomas said? Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. So maybe you know someone that is stuck in their spiritual journey because they just can't believe. And maybe you are there yourself. The question is, how do we get past this spiritual sticking point? Well, if we look at the scriptures, we discover that we get past this point by actively seeking God. Here in Acts chapter 8, an angel of the Lord appears to Philip, the Gentile convert to Christ, who has been chosen to join the apostles in their mission. And this angel tells Philip, who is obviously a spiritually sensitive man, get up and go south to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And we see that Philip doesn't ask any questions. He just gets up and goes. And while he's on the way, the narration of Acts tells us this, that there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. So even before the Ethiopian official meets Philip, he's already actively seeking God. He has traveled all the way from Africa up to the Middle East to worship God in the temple. And as his chariot bounces along that desert road, he's got a portion of the Hebrew scriptures in his lap, and he's reading the Word of God. He does not understand everything he's reading, but he's actively seeking a deeper relationship with God. The prophet Jeremiah said, "When you search for me, you will find me, if with all your heart you seek me." So if you are struggling to see God in this world, follow the example of the Ethiopian eunuch who worshiped, who studied God's word, who yearned after God's heart. You know, I want to encourage you as we go through this series together over these next few weeks to keep coming back to church. Next week, we're going to explore some of the actual evidence for Christ and his identity as the Son of God. And if you've not already done so, sign up for one of our small groups where we're going to dig deeper into who Jesus is and what that means for us. The same that was true for the Ethiopian is true for you and me, that if with all your heart you seek God, you will find him. For some, the spiritual sticking point is, I can't believe. For others, it's, I don't want to believe. I don't want to believe. You know, when you're walking in the light of Christ, you might ask, why would someone not want to believe? If you have experienced his grace, his mercy, his peace, his fellowship, the joy of serving and giving, you might ask yourself, why would someone not want to believe? You know, the Apostle John was struggling with that same question. Why would someone not want to believe? And in John chapter 3, verse 19, he writes this. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people loved darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. Why would someone not want to believe? Well, according to John, they love the darkness rather than the light. I mean, why would they give up a perfectly beautiful Sunday morning like this to worship the Lord God Almighty when they could be enjoying a round of golf or a leisurely breakfast on the deck or catching up on their sleep because they were up late last night? Why would they join in Christian fellowship? They've got enough friends. Why would they give up time to serve others when their calendars are filled, or give the first 10% of their income to God's work when they need their money to get more stuff? Why would they get involved in something greater than themselves when they might miss their favorite television show? Most of those who say, "I don't want to believe," are really saying, "I don't want to change, because I'm doing very well on my own apart from God. Thank you very much." Maybe you know someone for whom this is their spiritual sticking point. Maybe this has been a spiritual sticking point for you. So how do we get past it? Well, we get past it by comparing the trajectory of life apart from Christ with the trajectory of life with Christ. If you were to mentally carry out the trajectory of your life to its conclusion, where would you end up? And how do you feel about that? Then compare it to the trajectory of all that you receive in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in this life and in the life to come. It reminds me of what Jesus said when he said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and moth consume and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Some people say, "I can't believe." And some people say, "I don't want to believe." And then there are those who say, "I don't know what to believe." This was the spiritual sticking point for the Ethiopian official to whom the Spirit led Philip out there in the desert. Look at verse 29. "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over to this chariot and join it.' So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And the Ethiopian replied, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him." Now, can you imagine how surprised Philip was when he ran up alongside of this chariot and he heard this man who had traveled all the way from Africa reading Isaiah? I mean, just to have a copy of the scripture back then was very rare. Scriptures were copied by hand on parchment and preserved in scrolls, and they were very, very expensive. The fact that this man even has a copy of Isaiah is remarkable. And Philip looks into this chariot, and he sees this man with the scroll unrolled on his lap, and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian gives an honest answer. "How can I, unless someone guides me? I don't know what to believe." You know, there are many, many people today like that Ethiopian eunuch. It's not that they can't believe. It's not that they don't want to believe. It's that they don't know what to believe. I was looking on YouTube this week, and I found several videos that churches have done where they've interviewed the man or the woman on the street. And some of the ones I was looking at, and you might want to look at them too, were asking people this simple question, who is Jesus? Go up to the man or the woman on the street and just ask them, who is Jesus for you? Well, there was a young woman who, when asked that question, just nervously giggled and said, I don't know. And then there was this smartly dressed businessman who said, I have no clue who Jesus is, but I know he's not the Son of God. And then a woman walking her dog in a park said, you know, I think Jesus was a marketing genius. He got people to believe him. And this elderly man sitting on a bench said, you know, if the magician David Copperfield lived in the day of Jesus, he would be Jesus. Now, there were a few people who gave beautiful answers, testifying to how Jesus has shown them how to live, how he is their Lord and Savior. But overall, the man or woman on the street had great misunderstanding about who Jesus is and what that means for them. And as I was watching this, I was wondering why. Looking at the Ethiopian official, I understand. Because they have never had someone to guide them. If you don't know what to believe, how do you get past that spiritual sticking point? Well, you get past it by seeking the guidance of other believers. If you want a deeper relationship with God, do what the Ethiopian eunuch did. Seek guidance. Come to worship. Join a small group. Find a more mature friend in Christ. Enjoy. Every one of us should have a mentor, someone who can guide us in the faith. And at the same time, every one of us ought to be building relationships with non-believers that will open the way for us to share our faith. And that brings me to the final spiritual sticking point, number 4. I do believe, isn't that enough? You know, there are people who say, I understand who Jesus is. I believe what he says is true. But I still feel like there's something holding me back from experiencing the kind of relationship with Jesus that I believe I could have. You know, there's a big difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. Knowing who Jesus is, as we're focusing on throughout this series, is really important. But it's not enough. What's really important is a relationship with Jesus. The Ethiopian official didn't just want to know about Jesus, he wanted a relationship with Jesus. And after Philip shared the good news with him, and the story continues, soon we see the eunuch going down into the water with Philip. A powerful act of total surrender to the new life he desires in relationship to Jesus. Philip plunges him down under the water, a powerful symbol that his old self is passing away. Philip lifts him up out of the water, a powerful symbol of the new life that began for him that day. This wealthy official let go of his pride, let go of his position in this world, let go of all those earthly things and surrendered to Jesus. How do you get past it if you believe, but you yearn to know Jesus more. Well, the way to get past that sticking point is by surrendering all to Jesus. If you are not finding the peace and joy and sense of purpose in your life that your heart longs for, it could be that there's something in your life that you need to surrender to Jesus. What is it that you need to let go of in order to experience a more abundant life? The life that God desires for us all in Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. Friends, wherever you are on your journey, whatever your spiritual sticking point might be, I want you to hear the good news today that our God always comes to meet us where we are. The Holy Spirit is forever moving in your life and in mine, helping us to overcome the obstacles that would get in our way. And as we surrender to His influence, He opens the way for us to experience a deeper, richer, more abundant life with Him.